Turn to Proverbs chapter 2 this morning. Proverbs chapter 2. And this is going to be the second message in the series, A Better Understanding. And this morning, the title of my message is The Voice of Understanding. You know, last week we looked at understanding a proverb, and I don't understand why this isn't working. I accidentally did something to it. Did you want to come and check it out, Tim? Sorry about the technical difficulties here, folks. Last week, we looked at understanding a proverb or a parable, if you will. God has used parables. God's given us a lot of different parables for us to understand spiritual truths. And, you know, when we think about spiritual truths, we think about God's Word. We think about knowledge and wisdom. Every one of us needs knowledge and wisdom. Amen? You're saying, preacher, you're not kidding. I need knowledge and I need wisdom. Looks like Tim had some wisdom here. We got her going. Amen. You know what that means? Now that I got this, I can come down there and preach right at you this morning. Amen. If I can get it. We need wisdom. Every one of us certainly needs wisdom in life. And it seems like one day to the next, it just seems that there's problems and decisions to be made. And, you know, life throws things at us that we don't expect. You know, whether you're a young person, whether you're married, we need wisdom. Amen. Some of you going, preacher, I am married and I need wisdom. Amen. We've got to learn. We've got to understand that God has given us information. God has given us information in His Word. He's given us the solutions to life's problems. He's given us information to help us no matter what walk of life we are in, where we're at, whether as we sang about tonight, we don't normally sing that one verse about the gray hair growing around the temples and the hoary head and all of that stuff. And I started, man, this is a little personal. This is starting to get personal now. But God, it doesn't matter where you are in life, whether you're there with the hoary head and the gray hair around the temples, you're saying, preacher, I'm just glad I've got hair. Amen? But no matter where we are, God has given us information that will help us when it comes to life. Most importantly, God has given us information that will help us in eternal life. Information that will give us the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the understanding that we need to be saved and the understanding that Jesus Christ died for us. That is the greatest piece of wisdom that we can learn. We saw last week that Christ has been made wisdom for us. He has been made wisdom for us. I got to say too, I was thankful for that special this morning. Amen? Amen? You're saying, preacher, I don't know. Well, you come up and try it. Amen. I know it blessed my heart. And I'm not biased because two of them just happened to have been McSwiggins, but it was a good song. There was good message. And they all have good voices. Amen. And I know they're doing a better job singing than I can do. Some people have been given voices. There was some years ago, There were some tryouts, some musical tryouts down in one of the biggest music halls in New York, and they were doing vocal tryouts for the Phantom of the Opera, and they had gone through several people who had come up, and they had auditioned, they had sung and showed their voices off, and one day this particular individual came along, said, I want to audition, and they said, sure, we'll give you a tryout, and they got this person, and he walked up on the stage, and everybody's sitting and waiting in anticipation. Well, this guy started belting out I don't know what. It wasn't music, that's for sure. This guy started trying to sing, and as he continued, every single note was off key. I mean, this guy could not hit a note if it had, he couldn't carry a note if it had handles on it. He was just off, and it was painful. Everyone who was listening, you're saying, "Preacher, well, I can understand that because that's probably what would happen if I tried to sing." Amen. He continued and he continued and he continued. Everybody was anxiously awaiting the end of his audition. In fact, a couple of the people that were there listening, they left the room. They couldn't take it any longer. Off they went out of the room. And finally, he hit the last note. And when he did, one of the judges stood up and started to applaud. And everybody's kind of looking at him going, "Is this guy deaf? Or what happened here?" So the guy who was singing was escorted off of the stage and in through the back door and out into another room. And when he was finally gone, all of the other judges looked at this one judge who was applauding and said, "Listen, we don't understand why you were applauding this guy." And the guy said, "I was not applauding his musical abilities." He said, "What I was applauding is that that guy had the nerve to get up there and sing." This morning, we're going to look at the voice of understanding. God says that we are to lift our voices. And I believe that God is going to commend each and every one of us for raising our voices and crying out for wisdom and for understanding. The problem is, and I think not only when it comes to maybe crying out and raising our voices for understanding, but when it comes to prayer, when it comes to speaking to God at all, I think sometimes we get the idea that God's not going to like our voices very much. He's not going to like what He hears, and that stops us. That prevents us from going to God. You know, God is going to commend each and every one of us for lifting our voices. And there's no bad voices. There's no off-key when it comes to crying out to God. We need to go to God and raise our voices and seek for knowledge and seek for understanding and seek for wisdom. Listen, dear folks, as Christians, our desire should be for understanding. We should desire to know more. We should desire and never be satisfied with where we are in our Christian lives. Listen, one of the most dangerous places for any Christian to be in is to be in a place where they believe, or we believe, that we know it all. We've done it all. We've seen it all. And that we have no other place to go. God wants us all, no matter, again, where you are in life, whether you're a new Christian, whether you've been saved for years, God wants every one of us to be hungry and desiring knowledge and understanding. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but if I was to ask you this morning, how many of you could say this morning that I have more understanding than I did a month ago? I have more understanding than I did a year ago, or 5 years ago, or 10 years ago. Look at verse 3 of Proverbs chapter 2. Verse 3, Proverbs chapter 2. "Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for, again, this great opportunity to come into the house of God today. Lord, I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your goodness. But most of all, Lord, we thank you, and I thank you for the wisdom and understanding of spiritual things, of life, the knowledge of God that you've given to us. You haven't left us in the dark. We're not wondering who you are. and what you can be in our lives. We know through thy word the knowledge and understanding of the holy. And Lord, no matter what trial or struggle, no matter where we are in life, there is understanding and knowledge and wisdom to be attained. So help us this morning, God. May we see a little clearer, and may we hear with ears that are willing and ready to hear. We'll thank you and we'll praise you for your goodness and your grace in Jesus' name. And amen. Again, let's read our text verse is verse 3, but let's read the first 6 verses of Proverbs chapter 2. The Bible says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." As we looked at last week, there are no shortages of things in this world that are vying for our affection. Everywhere we turn, something is vying for our affection. Something is vying for our attention. We are bombarded with advertising. We're bombarded with philosophy and ideology and every, it's all around us. We have voices that are calling us in every direction in life. But God wants our affection. And God wants our attention. And God wants us to be focused on Him. The Bible says here that if we incline our ear to wisdom and apply our heart to understanding, God wants our ear. And God wants our heart to be applied onto His understanding. We must understand that the wisdom of God and the understanding of the Holy is within our reach. There are many things in life that are unattainable. There are many things in life that we would probably say, you know, I would love that, but I know that I will never attain that. There are things in life that we may want to do or see, but we'll never do them. And we'll never see them. You know, we might say, well, preacher, you know, I would love to have been a brain surgeon. For the most part, many of us will never attain to that. Maybe you'd say, you know, I wanted to be an engineer. But we were never able to attain that. But God says that His wisdom and His knowledge and His understanding is attainable. You know, we may not have the wisdom and knowledge and understanding to become a brain surgeon. We may never have that wisdom and knowledge and understanding to become an engineer. But when it comes to God and when it comes to spiritual truth and when it comes to understanding spiritual things, God says these things are available. They're there. God says that He can increase our IQ. He can give us something that we cannot attain by ourselves. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8, the Bible says, "But what saith it? The word," or the scripture, "is nigh unto thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That is the word of faith which we preach. It's nigh unto us. That knowledge and information that God desires for us is there. But we've got to understand that there are conditions. There are conditions. You know, if you want to attain to a level of knowledge and understanding again in the secular world, if you're going to go to university to become a brain surgeon, there are certain conditions that you're going to have to meet. First of all, you're going to have to study. Amen? And you're going to have to apply yourself. And you're going to have to work hard, long hours of the night, studying and gaining more information and memorizing and doing all of these things. Well, God says, you know what? You're not going to attain this kind of knowledge by those same conventional methods, but there are some things that you need to learn if you are going to attain the understanding of God. The Bible says in verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure. The first thing we've got to realize is if we want this understanding is God has to have our attention. You know, one of the easiest things in the world to do, and I'm going to say this because I have to put myself, as I normally do, in the same category. One of the easiest things to do is to listen. It's easy to listen. But that category that I put myself in, and I think all of us probably would have to say, you know what, I'm in that category as well. It's the easiest thing to do, but it's the hardest thing to do. Because we don't listen. Listening is easy. It takes very little effort. You can listen while you're sitting relaxed on the couch. And God says that if we are going to attain to the knowledge and understanding that God wants for us. And again, I'm not talking about, you know, mystic, you know, esoteric type of understanding and knowledge. We're talking about simple wisdom and knowledge. Spiritual knowledge. The first thing we've got to do is learn how to listen. How many parents here or teachers have ever tried to get their children's attention? How many wives have tried to get their husband's attention? It's like, stop looking at the screen. Look up here for a second. You know, we're trying to get their attention. Husbands are going, hey, what about me when I'm trying to get her attention? Okay, well, we'll include that in there as well. God is trying to get our attention. And we're saying, you know what, preacher, I go to church. I read my Bible. I'm doing all of the things that I'm supposed to be doing. Well, you know what, your child can be doing all of the things that they're supposed to be doing, and they're going, yes, Mom. Yes, Mom. Yes, Dad. And then you stop and say, okay, well, what did I just ask you to do? And they're like, huh? They weren't listening. They were there, but they weren't listening. You know, I hope that when you come to church, you're giving God your ear. You're not giving me your ear. You're giving God your ear. Because we're hearing God's word. Amen? And you're saying, well, you know, I would, but that preacher, man, he is so dry. He is so boring. He puts me to sleep every time. Well, take some of my messages home and it'll help you tonight to get more sleep and then you won't be tired next Sunday. Amen? It works good. It works good. If I put you to sleep, great. You got something to help you with your sleeping problem. God wants our ear when we're in church. And I hope we're just not here. We're really, you know. And what did he just say? Wouldn't it be nice if we could go home and meditate and contemplate on the message that God's given? God wants our ear. We've got to learn to listen, to do the simplest thing in the world, but it's the hardest thing for us to do. Secondly, there's got to be some retention as well. We can listen, but if we don't attain and retain what we've heard, whether it comes to listening to the preaching and the teaching of God's word, but whether it's Bible study, personal Bible study and reading, God wants us to retain what we've read. You know, there's a lot of different ways that we can retain. There's a lot of different things we can do. one of the best things to do is to just read and to reread, to listen and to listen again. And a lot of times, when we've heard it 10 times or 12 times or 15 times, it starts sinking in. You know, Jesus gave an interesting illustration, a parable, a proverb, when he talked about the sower and the seed. And Jesus talked about the seed, that seed which was the Word of God, and he talked about different types of soil. And the sower went out and he sowed that seed, that Word of God, in different types of soil. And that soil, for the most part, listen folks, listen to this, that soil, for the most part, has to do with the amount of attention we give to what's being said, whether we've listened or not. And that one particular soil he talked about, that wayside. Now you're saying, well, preacher, what is a wayside? Well, if you're a farmer, you might understand this. Back even today, there might be a tractor path, you know, where the tractors drive out into the field. I remember hitting one of those with a snowmobile once at 60 miles an hour. It was not fun. Well, it was until I hit the ground. And then there might be a path where the animals walk back in biblical days, or the farm, and it would be hard, and it would be packed down. And so that farmer, that sower, is out there and he's spreading his seed all around, and there's some nice worked up soil over here. And then over here, there might be some other soil, and it's rocky soil. And then there, over here, there's weeds and different things. But he talks about that one particular part of the field. He said, it's the wayside. And what is going to happen to that seed? Jesus said that seed is going to fall there, and then the fowls of the air are going to come along, and they're going to look, and they're going to say, man, free lunch. And what's going to happen? The seed is gone. Why? Because it was not retained. You're saying, well, no, it just didn't sink in. Well, let that sink in. You see, God wants the Word of God to sink in. Sink in. And then when it sinks in, it's going to be there. And if it sinks in, it's going to be able to develop fruit in our lives. And it's going to give us that understanding. And it's going to give us that ability when we need it. When a trial comes or a struggle comes or a question comes in life, we can go and say, hey, you know that thing that sunk in a little while ago? It's still here. And I can get it. And I can use it. And I can apply it to my life. I can use it. You know, the devil wants us all to be the wayside. Well, preacher, I read my Bible this morning. Well, preacher, I come to church. I hear, I listen. But does it sink in? God wants it to sink in. God has given us so many truths in His Word, and there's always something to learn. And then there's got to be, number three, the reflection. We've got to continue to meditate on it. You know, it's one thing, I'll use this illustration. My mom, she used to tell me a lot. I think it was to prepare me for when I got old. But she used to always tell me about how she was getting old. She would tell me how she used to remember things so well, and now she doesn't remember things anymore, and now she's got to write everything down. And guess what I'm doing? I'm telling my kids, you know, I used to remember things real well, and I forget, and I got to write everything down. And we're talking about names yesterday, and I can't even get names straight anymore. My mom used to do that. She'd trying to call me in for lunch, and she'd go through the cat, dog, all our kids, cousins, aunts, uncles, everyone, before she finally figured out what my name was. You're saying, well, Pastor, that sounds like me. Well, that means you're old. Amen. Where was I going with this? Retention, knowledge, application. My mom used to always say as well, she said, you know, I can't remember, I've got things in my memory, that I can't bring up, and I consider it to be like a computer. You know, there's lots of things in your hard drive that are down in there, but they're not on your screen. They're in there. And then you got to go find them. Amen? How many people have had a hard time? You know you've got something on your computer, but you just don't know where it is. And then you figure out, well, you can search, try to search for it. And then you get so much that even searches turn into being painful endeavors. I like those old computers, like were 2 gigs hard drive, because there wasn't much in them. But my mom used to always say, I got so much in there, I don't know what drawer I put it in. You know, I don't know what file it's in. And she says, I know it, but I can't remember. We were talking about a French word yesterday. And I'm going, I know what that word is. I remember using it over and over and over again, but I can't for the life of me remember what it was. It was way too far in the hard drive back there. So God says that we are to give our ear, give our ear over to listening, make sure we're listening, and then to allow it to sink in. But then we're also to make sure that every once in a while we're going into that file, finding it, and going over it. You know, there are certain things on my computer that I know how to get to really quickly. I know the files they're in. I know where I need to go. But there are other things that I remember saving that about 3 years ago, and I saved it, I retained it, it's in there. But where in the world it is, I have no idea. Let me ask you this morning. What are the things in your life that are always in the forefront of your computer screen? What are the things in your life that are at the forefront of your... You know, you could say, preacher, I remember those things. And I've got them in there somewhere, but it has been so long. It has been so long since I've brought them to the forefront of my mind. And I've thought about them, and I've gone over them and over them and over them again and again and again. Listen, folks, what God is saying is that He should be our desktop wallpaper. It should be there. It should be always thought about. We should meditate on God. We should meditate on God's Word and what God has given to us. So in order for us to have this understanding, we've got to reflect. We cannot forget. Meditating on God's Word. And then there's got to be the supplication as well. I'm glad God has given us His book. Amen? I'm glad for the Bible. And you know, we can go to our libraries and we can look at our library and we can say, well, you know, there's the author who wrote this book and you know, there's the author that wrote that book and there's all kinds of authors in the world and there's all kinds of books and, you know, I've read books, I've read many books, non-biblical books or non-Christian books, sorry, and I used to like reading Pierre Burton's books and other people's books. And you know, there's been a lot of things in these books that I've never understood. I remember reading a book by Donald Johanson. These are big words, and I'm sorry for getting everybody lost. But he was a paleontologist, and he dug up bones for a living. And he's the guy that found this skeleton years ago called Lucy that was supposed to have been, you know, this missing link and all this stuff. And I before I was a Christian, I was really into that sort of thing. I wanted to be a paleontologist. I wanted to dig for bones in the dirt. Sounded like fun. But there were things in that book. I read that book and I enjoyed it, but there were things in there that I had absolutely no idea what he was talking about. A lot of big terms and a lot of scientific stuff and all kinds of stuff like that. So what do I do? Or what do you do when you're reading a book and you have no idea what the author is talking about? What do you do? Do you call him up? Hey, Donald, how you doing, man? I was reading your book. I got to page 193 and I was lost. You lost me, man. Could you explain to me what happened there? You're saying, preacher, you just can't do that. Well, you know what? With this book, you can. Amen? Not only do we have access to the book, but we have access to the author. And God has given us the Holy Spirit. God has given us the Holy Spirit of God to help us, to guide us, to bring to memory, to help us to retain, and also to understand. And you know, we've got all that information tucked away in our hard drive. And we need to understand that we need the supplication of the Holy Spirit to give us the understanding that we need. We can't do it by ourselves. There also has to be perseverance as well. Have you ever given up? Have you ever given up on something? Have you ever been in the Word of God and you've tried to find something and maybe you've given up? There was a story told. Well, I'm going to tell my story first. I know I've used this illustration before, and I apologize. All the visitors are never. I promise you've never heard this illustration before. But when my dad asked me one time to do some raking in the yard, and I was just, "Oh, Dad, I'm sick. Oh, Dad, I can't do it. I'll get to it eventually." You know, just a typical kid. And I really had a hard time getting out and raking. It wasn't my favorite thing to do when I was 9 years old. And at one time, I don't know if he came up with this idea on his own, but he had this idea. And we're walking into the house one day, and there was a pile of leaves that was sitting on the lawn, on the front lawn. And he said, "Oh, Michael," he says, "I dropped a dime in there." And back in those days, 10 cents down at the Becker store could get you a lot of goodies. Amen. And I'm thinking, like, my eyes widened, and I'm thinking, like, 10 cents. And so I dove in, man. I was in there, my feet sticking out. I'm digging around. And he says, "You know the best thing to do," he says, "is just take the leaves and put them into a bag, and then you'll just be make sure the dime's not in there." So I started doing that, putting all these things, you know, all the leaves in the bag, and I finally got to the grass, and guess what? There was no 10 cents in there. So I went in the house, and my dad said, "I'm sorry, son, there was no 10 cents." And he pulled out 10 cents out of his pocket. And I think actually he gave me a quarter. And I kind of learned a little bit of a lesson right there. Because I know that if my dad had said, "Michael, would you rake up all those leaves and I'll give you a dime," I would have just kind of, "No, I don't think so. My time's too valuable, you know, for that." I probably wouldn't have done it. And if I did it, I would have had a bad attitude. But when I thought there was free money, man, there was no stopping me. I mean, there were leaves flying everywhere, me looking for that dime. And there was a story. The other story I was going to use was some guys in Africa one time. And, well, I'm going to give you another one. Okay? This is another free illustration. These two Scotsmen, right? They were walking along down in the States. And they were walking along one day, and there was some money, coins, that were left on the ground. So they had found these coins. They started picking them up, and they unearthed a little bit of dirt, and there were more coins. And so they, as good Scotsmen did, they put the money in their pocket. But the curiosity was killing them. Is there more underneath? And as they started going down, they found another penny. Before you know it, they had 35 cents. Before you know it, we have the Grand Canyon. You know, perseverance, right? God has given us the Word of God. And there's a lot of things in the Bible. There's a lot of things that we know and we understand that are on the surface. But how many more things are underneath? What's going to be the difference? You know, are we going to be satisfied to just pick up a few coins or find a dime on the surface? Or are we going to dig underneath? Are we going to dig a little deeper to try to find, you know, the hidden things of God, the deeper things of God, maybe things that we're not just going to know by just skimming the surface? What's going to be the difference? what's going to determine whether we're going to be the type of Christian that's going to dig deep and go the extra mile, put that effort into finding the understanding that God has for us. You know, because the ultimate truth is, if we want that understanding, and if we want to know more, and if we want the wisdom of God, we have got to be willing to persevere, to dig, and to keep digging. I want you to have a look at these verses. And I want you to look at the ifs here when it comes to the conditions of God giving us the knowledge. Are we willing to persevere? And are we willing to go the extra mile to do what God says in order to get that knowledge and that understanding? Look what it says. My son, if thou wilt receive my words, and I'm going to throw a word in here, and if thou hidest my commandments with me, so that thou incline thine ear, so if thou incline thine ear to wisdom, and if you apply your heart unto understanding, in verse 3, and if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then, shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord, look at this, the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. I was searching and searching and searching for that dime. There was no dime. It was not found. But God says, thou shalt have understanding. God guarantees us success if we are willing to do what God says. Search for it. Desire it. The Bible talks about treasures and hid treasures often in the Bible. In fact, the word treasure itself is found 98 times, and the idea of hidden treasure is found 7 times in the Bible. Even Job talked about hid treasure. In fact, he says there that the man or the person that is heavy in spirit, a person that's maybe suffering from depression or having a hard time in life, that person seeks death more than they would seek a hid treasure. Now, why did Job, through the inspiration of God, use the hid treasure? Because both of them know that there is great desire in finding hidden treasure. You know, I joked about, you know, those the coins and the Scotsman and the Grand Canyon. But every one of us know that in a real life situation, it's true. When there were people going around the United States, when the gold rush happened, you know, in California, and whether it is the diamonds of Africa, you know, when they begin to mine for them, I'm sure there's times of disappointment when they find just a few pieces of gold, or maybe just a few diamonds. Suddenly, they pick up the pace. Suddenly, there's a little bit of fervency behind their work, and they begin to dig deeper and deeper and deeper until they're utterly exhausted. But when it comes to the Word of God, we've got to understand that we need to dig as well. You know, our country in Canada, we haven't got too long of a history, but there's some countries in the world that have had a lot of wealth, and they've lost that wealth. Some of them have lost it because of pilfering and being ransacked by other countries where they've come in and they've cleaned them out. But, you know, there's a lot of countries in the world that are very susceptible to earthquakes and natural disasters, even the Middle East, Egypt. Cities are being uncovered, treasures are constantly being uncovered. And you know, there are treasures to be found. There's wisdom. And there's understanding. Turn in your Bibles. We'll close with this morning. Colossians chapter 2, please. Colossians chapter 2. Talking about Jesus Christ here, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Hid treasures are to be found in Jesus Christ. To what extent are we going to dig? To what extent are we going to cry out to hear the voice of understanding? If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's no better place for you to get that knowledge and understanding than right here. God wants to save you. God wants to forgive your sins and take you to heaven, to establish your relationship with Him. Maybe you're a Christian and you can say, you know what, preacher, I've been here and I've been reading, but I haven't been attaining, I haven't been retaining, I haven't been supplicating, and I haven't been persevering. By God's grace, today I'm going to determine to cry for that understanding. I'm going to bring it to the forefront, and I'm going to meditate on it, and I'm going to give God my all. If you're here this morning, you need to do that. We're going to have an altar call in a minute. And if you need to be saved, you come and let me know. We'll have somebody take the Bible, show you how you can have your sins forgiven, establish your relationship with God, and have the assurance of heaven. And again, if you're a Christian here, maybe you've just been playing at it. Maybe you haven't been desiring the things of God like hidden treasure. Would you come and do business? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this opportunity today to be in the house of God. And we thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You for Your blessings. We thank You, Lord, for all that You've given to us. But Lord, there is more than what is on the surface. God, I pray that as we've read here in Colossians, that the hidden treasures of God are in Christ Jesus. That we would desire those hidden treasures. We would desire them as silver and gold. Lord, help us. Help each one of us for Your honor and for Your glory. And with everyone's head bowed and eyes are closed, would you be here this morning and could you, as a Christian, but just by way of testimony, could you say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I know I've accepted Christ as my Savior. Amen. Thank you for those hands. I know I go to heaven. My sins are forgiven. My relationship with God is established. Thank you. Amen. Would you be here this morning? And again, nobody's looking around. Nobody's going to center you out. Nobody's going to call you forward. But I want to pray for you. Could you, with an upraised, just quickly slip your hand up, say, preacher, pastor, I don't know what it is to be saved. I don't believe my sins are forgiven. I don't believe I'd be in heaven. And would you pray for me? Pray for me that I might come to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Just quickly slip your hand up. Say, pastor, pray for me. Would you be here then as a Christian? Say, pastor, I need prayer. I need to have more desire. Thank you. Thank you for those hands. I need to have more desire for the Word of God. Would you pray for me? Thank you. Amen. Thank you for those hands. And as we have this altar call, if you need to do business, you come. Father, we're again grateful for each one that was able to raise the hand this morning. God, would you give them the power, strength, and ability to seek you as the treasures of this world. Lord, I pray again, if there is somebody here that does not know Jesus Christ, that they would not leave this place without getting that settled.
We'll thank you, we'll praise you, and we'll give you the honor, we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we have a song of invitation.